Yeah. So that's a children's cartoon? Man, they don't have cartoons. Man, they're so much better than they were when I was a kid. We had Little John and Robin Hood romping through the forest. They have that now. What's up? That's crazy. Well, that's from a movie called Inside Out. And I love that scene and the concept behind it because what you have is you have three people at a table who love each other and they're trying to do their best, and still there's hurt happening and there's an offense that happens. And there's people who are approaching this and doing their best, and the mom is looking for help and trying to support the daughter, and the daughter is kind of going through a hard time with a new school, and the dad apparently loves hockey, I don't know. And these three people, and they love each other and they're doing their best, and they hurt one another. And that happens in life. And we're in this series now called Love Like That, where we ask ourselves, can we love like Jesus loved? He loved extravagantly. He gave himself away in relationship. And so can we be like that? We're in the fourth week out of five in this series. And today we're just talking about that. Like, what happens when someone we love, when someone we're in relationship has offended us, when there's an offense that's been built up, when it's not just this one thing in this one moment where we can overlook, but there's something that's happened, it's been building, and it's building inside of us. And does Jesus say something about that? And so that's what we're going to do today. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn with me to Matthew 5. And Matthew 5, verse 21 through 24 today. And the thing is, like this Matthew 5 passage, it's part of a larger passage called the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' longest recorded sermon that we have of his. And this passage, this 5, 21 through 24, it's part of a series of passages in this sermon where Jesus says, you've heard it said something, but I tell you something else. And everything that he says, you've heard it said, is something that you can see, it's something you can witness, something that someone physically does. But then Jesus takes that focus from that thing you can see that person doing, and it points it back inside, like what's happening inside of you. So it's not a physical thing, but it's an internal thing. And over and over and over again in this sermon, but also in this passage, it's Jesus saying there's a system of faith and religion that they were living in. And it was all about actions. It was all about what you could see and what you could measure. And Jesus is like, no. He's like, he comes again and again and again. He's pointing to what's going on the inside. In this passage, what you're going to see is he talks about the impact internally. If in your relationships things go badly, there's an offense that happens, like happened in that clip. What happens if more happens and more happens? And the fascinating thing about that clip, it's a children's movie, but at the end, she's talking about the Brazilian helicopter pilot, you know, which is funny. And that's how those sorts of things happen, is when hurts and offenses build up. We're going to read all of Matthew 5, 21 through 24. Then we're going to go back through it verse by verse. Matthew 5, 21, 24 says, you have heard that our ancestors were told, I'm sorry, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. So it's this passage Jesus talking about. He says, you've heard it said, don't murder. But I tell you, don't be angry with your brother or sister. And that's where you know he's talking about someone you're in relationship with, someone you're close with. It's not a literal brother or sister. It's someone that you know and are in relationship with. And he says, don't be angry with your brother or sister. And there's some things about this passage that you read it, and it feels like a hard left turn for Jesus because the way he says things and carries himself and talks. And there are some things in this passage that at first glance, you're like, Jesus, do you know what you're saying? Do you know what you're implying? But he says, don't be angry. He says, you shall not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. The thing is, we know Jesus. We know a lot of his story. We know that there were times in his life when he got angry. You know, there was times when there are people who were religious leaders, and he would say things to them like, your body is a tomb, and inside of you is dead men's bones. He's like spitting and hissing these angry words at them. And there are times when Jesus entered into the temple with a whip in his hand, like a literal whip in his hand, and he's kicking over tables angrily. And so you're like, Jesus, how can you say that anyone is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment? Like, this seems like a double standard a little bit. But what we have to see is that this, what he's starting to build a case for anger happens outside. You see it physically, but it as it progresses, as you allow anger to build, as you allow offenses to build up, what happens is it goes from an external thing with this external impact of like being angry and calling names, and then it turns into something powerful and destructive internally. You see what he says here? He says, but I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. I don't know what raka means. It sounds like a curse word. It's four letters long. And it has a k, right? So you're like, you raka. You know, maybe if there's like Jewish people watching the video, they're like, did he just say raka? He's not allowed to say that in church. It just kind of sounds like a word that if you were like going to cuss somebody out, man, raka. You and your raka face. Ugh. Anyway. Again, anyone says raka to a brother or sister, it's becoming this physical sort of like manifestation of an internal reality of this anger that's building up. So much so that you're going to go to this point where you're going to say raka to someone who you love. You're going to begin to, you know, curse them out. You're going to be that level of angry with them. And what does it say? It says it's answerable to the court. See, if you get to this place, where you that's the nature of how your relationship is going. And you're cursing them out and they're taking you to court. That's a relationship that is over, that is completely severed. And so it's like, it's this progression of first you're angry and then you're angry and this relationship is ruined. And then it goes one step further. It says, and anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. I've said way worse than you fool to people before. I don't know. That kind of makes me a little like, oh, the fires of hell. Really, Jesus? Because that... not overkill, I don't know. And what's funny is like, you have these words, dangers of the fire of hell. And it seems to be incongruent with the rest of Jesus's teachings, right? Because Jesus talks about God's unconditional love and his grace. And that you should. It's about loving God and loving people. And then he says this thing where if you call someone a fool, you're in the danger of the fires of hell. And it becomes kind of like this uneasy verse. And you're talking about relationships. What we have to understand here is that these words, fire of hell, they mean one thing in our culture at this time, in our context now. And those words meant something very, very different. The word hell there is actually this word Gehenna. And Gehenna is a literal place. You'll see a picture of it. That is a ravine just outside the old wall in Jerusalem. And that ravine is called Gehenna. It's a deep ravine, and it's a deep ravine, and it's a narrow ravine. And it's just outside the city. And so what happened is people would go there and do terrible, unspeakable things. Actually, there was a cult, a cultish religion that worshipped a goat god, Moloch. Like, Jake, are you talking about relationships now? This took a weird turn. No, bear with me. There was a goat god, Moloch, who asked for his followers to have human sacrifices. And so his followers would go to this ravine and they would worship Moloch there, and they would do those things. And so what happened was, and they would go here because it's close to town, but it's deep enough that you could go places in the ravine that people couldn't see you. And so what happened is the king at the time, Josiah, he was a God-fearing king. He decreed that if you're going to take care of garbage, you would throw the garbage into the ravine and set it on fire. That's how they did garbage disposal back then. Because they wanted like flaming garbage to be there so that the followers of Moloch couldn't do those terrible, despicable things in that space. So they couldn't be there and be in that sneaky, violent space. But what happened is this place, this is a literal place, it's a literal ravine outside of Jerusalem. It was known for death and destruction and violence and garbage and fire and putrid smells. And so what he's saying here, he's saying, you fool. Anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fires of Gehenna. He's not talking about the afterlife here. He's talking about the state of your heart here and now. As in, if you allow people an offense to seep into your heart, to define your heart. If your heart becomes so entrenched with the offenses of others, people who have left you, let you down, who have not met your expectations, your heart will be like a living hell. He's saying this is not an afterlife thing. There are times that Jesus talks about the afterlife, but this is not those times. Here he's talking about how your heart and your relationships will be a fiery hell. Now. The thing is, you don't always see living hell relationships. You don't always see living hell state of heart before it happens. But you know it when it's happened. You ever had someone who your relationship was so broken down that it overtook your heart in a way that it impacted the rest of your relationships, it impacted the rest of your life. Just the fact that you knew that person was out there and it made your heart so tormented, so divided, so like violent against itself and your other relationships. This is what he's talking about. He's saying if you allow offense to come in, it will impact you and it'll make you angry. And then it'll make your heart so angry that you say raka, and then you begin to ruin relationships. And then your relationships and your heart will be unlivable. Because offense is an event, but offended is a choice. You will be offended. Right? There will be times when someone has done something against you, when there is an offense that begins to build and begins to build. Offense is a choice. I'm sorry, offense is an event, but offended is a choice. And what happens is someone does something small and someone overlooks you or doesn't meet an expectation, and then this sort of like ember and flicker of Gehenna begins to spark in your heart. And you don't see it coming. You don't see that you're going to hate that person. You don't see the way that hatred is going to boil and broil in your heart and destroy it. But it can. So I'm going to talk about this. I actually have a couple of volunteers, and I use the word volunteers loosely because I don't think they wanted to be my volunteers today. But could you guys come up here real quickly? So this is Alfred and Aubrey. They're going to be volunteers for me today. Can we give them a hand? Because Alfred didn't want to do this really. Can I use the word volunteer loosely?
Very loosely.
Very loosely. Very loosely. Coerced is good. So here's what we're going to do. Aubrey, I need you to stand right here. And Alfred, you're on this side. And so you guys are dating?
Yes.
Just a beautiful couple, by the way. Aren't they? Yeah. Okay. So what happens in relationships and how these things happen, because I paint this sort of like stark and violent and destructive picture, but it doesn't start that way. It doesn't happen that way. It builds to that. It starts with be angry, and it goes to saying angry things, and it goes to this angry heart. But it doesn't start that way. Like when offense builds up, it doesn't start in this place where it's suddenly there's like this broiling and boiling state of your heart. It starts in small ways. So maybe Aubrey. Hi, Aubrey. Maybe in her house growing up, birthdays were a huge thing, like a huge thing. Like maybe Aubrey's dad would like make her like her favorite thing, banana pancakes. I don't know. Am I? Sure. Yeah. And he would like sing this Aubrey is my princess song to her every birthday. And then he'd dance and man, I love you so much. It's your princess day. Yes. And then they start dating. And Alfred doesn't know that. And so he texts her in the morning. Hey, babe, happy birthday. And Aubrey's like, no pancakes? Where's my princess song at? You bum? And what is this? It's the beginnings of a heart set on fire. It's the flicker and the ember of Gehenna beginning to build. It's an unmet expectation that maybe wasn't a verbalized expectation, but it's an unmet expectation nonetheless. And maybe this turns into, all right, well, then she starts, you know, getting frustrated with him in small ways. She didn't bring up the banana pancakes and the princess song, but it's in there still. And so what does she do? She goes, you never remember. You always forget. It's always you. I feel like you always pick work over me. And then it's so frustrating because like, this is my day. And it's these always and you never. And it's these unmet expectation statements that are made. And so what happens is that she kind of attacks and lashes out on him. But he doesn't even know that this whole thing has been happening. He has no idea. She deserved a princess song, right? So and it's these unmet expectations and these hurts. You know, these guys are dating, and you know, later on, you know, in life, maybe no pressure, but you know. for those of us who are married in the room, like, you know that, like, if someone comes in and they've made a purchase that wasn't talked about ahead of time, you know what happens? What's funny is, so we budget our money with this app called YNAB. And in YNAB, I get like a certain amount of money I get to spend, and it's called Jake's Spending Money. And I do my very, very best to stay as close to that as possible. But there's all these other categories, you know, for things like, you know, food and gas and heat. And so sometimes, like, I'll, like, you know, if I go out and buy clothes, then that comes out of my spending money. But if my wife buys clothes, sometimes that comes out of some other magical category. And then it doesn't come out of her spending money. And then, well, you know what happens. Wait, I thought that we were going to spend, so when I spend money on clothes, it comes out of my spending money. But when you spend money on clothes, there's suddenly a clothing category that I didn't know about. And maybe it's not somewhat a romantic relationship, right? Maybe it's like a parent and a child. And the parent doesn't yell at the child right away. They're speaking loudly. But if you speak loudly quickly every single time, I am not yelling. Oh. I am speaking loudly. What happens? Is that child, maybe even an adult child, that a fence is built? Or maybe it's someone you work with, and you had this very, very important presentation, and you showed it to them ahead of time, and they're like, yeah, that looks good. Man, good job. You know, it's going to be such a great thing for you. I'm so proud of you. Good job. And then they're in the presentation meeting, and they're not, I'm proud of you. Good job. They're, hey, did you think about this? Because I feel like maybe the plan will break down at this certain point. And you're like, I just talked to you about this. Why did you tell us about it earlier? Not in this meeting. And the offense is built more. You know, I'm a really good driver and really bad at directions. And my wife is really good at directions. Yeah. Raqqa! That wasn't planned, by the way. But you have to come next hour because that worked, babe. So, like, when I'm driving, like, I'll, like, she's like, you're supposed to turn 3 minutes ago. Sorry. Because I'm, like, 10% nutty professor. And, but when like, she's driving, I feel like her guardian angel has to, like, limber up beforehand, you know? He's like, okay, she's behind the wheel again. Let's get ready, right? But she always knows where she's going. It's just a matter of getting there. And then, so I'll be in the passenger seat, and I'll be grabbing the oblique bar, and she's like, do you want to change seats? And I'm like, yes, no. And then, or I'm driving and I go the wrong way and I'm supposed to turn back there. And she's like, we're late. And she doesn't like being late. And I don't mind being late sometimes. And she's like, we're going to make us even later. And then what you have, you didn't see it coming. You don't know how it happened, but you know it when you have it. An offense happened, and that was an event. And slowly but surely, you chose to be offended. And it defined your relationship, and there is a barrier built, there was an offense built. And the two people, which one time was a beautiful relationship, now there's a division. Hey, Aubrey. Then what do you do? What do we do in this situation? If this is you, if this is your relationship, if this is you with the guy at work, or if this is you and your boyfriend or girlfriend, this is you with your spouse or your child, like, how do you move forward? What do you do when that relationship has broken down, when it's progressed in this way where it started out angry and then it turned to words and it turned to the very state of your heart? Like, what do you do? There's this verse in 1 Peter 1:22. It says this: now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. And it's this verse that at first it appears wordy, but it's beautiful. And it starts out with, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth. He's saying, now that if you are someone who has aligned yourself with Jesus, Jesus, what he does when he enters into your life is he purifies your heart. He changes you from the inside out. And so he says, if that's you, if Jesus has come in and he's changed you from the inside out, then what your goal should be is that you should have a sincere love for each other. It says you have a sincere love. If you want that sincere love, love one another. It's like if you want to be rich, have more money. It's like at first glance, it doesn't feel that helpful. It's like if you want to love, love. But if you want to have, the word it used in the original language there, that first sincere love, it's this phileo. It's this brotherly love. It's like this familial love. It's this supernatural love that happens between two people when it's like a family love that they're going to abide and they're going to stay together and they're going to work it out no matter what because they're that kind of committed. And the Bible talks about that sort of like supernatural familial love. Because if you want to have that type of love that works it out, that makes it stick, that is no matter what happens, no matter what offense has come, we're going to tear them down. Then what you have to do is you have to love one another deeply. But that word deeply is this word ektenos, which means earnestly, fervently, strenuously, perpetually. So if you want to have that sort of love, what you have to do is go back to that verse, Jamie. What you have to have is you have to love one another like strenuously, fervently, perpetually. And the thing is, we don't talk about strenuous, perpetual, earnest, fervent love in love songs. Right, we talk about loving you is easy. That's what sells love songs. Not strenuous, earnest, perpetual, fervent. You know, we like rom-coms where there's like a conflict, but they figure it out in like 30 minutes or less, and they live happily ever after. But earnest, fervent, strenuous, perpetual love doesn't sell movies. It is what builds healthy relationships, though, in times of offense. And so what you have in that verse, that first Peter verse, is he says, if you have this fervent love, love one another deeply from the heart. But it's like this clean, the heart, the word for heart there is like this spotless, without blame, without spot. It's this heart that doesn't have anything. It's not holding on to anything. There's no spots. There's no blemishes there. There's no like marks of unforgiveness attached to that heart. There's no little spots of like Raka in that heart. It's a heart that it's given itself over. It's going to fervently and strenuously let go of things. It's not going to allow those offenses to be spots and scars and pox on their heart. It's going to let go. And so what you have to do when the offense is built up, according to this verse, you have to love one another deeply and you have to drop it. You just got to drop it. You can't let this thing mark your heart. You have to drop it. You have to love that person strenuously and not let that offense mark your heart. And yes, you forgot the banana pancakes. Again, Alfred. She got to drop it. And she's allowed to say, hey, birthdays are a big deal to me. He's like, okay, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I'll do better next time. But then a week later, if you forget something else, it can't be, you forgot this thing and birthdays. No, you got to drop it. Because ladies, you have no forgetting of anything ever if we let. And then when he's responding to her and she gives him those all the time and you never and you always, he can't hold on to that. Because offense, it's an event, but offended is a choice. And as you go through, and as these things happen, and they'll happen, you have to drop them. You can't let them stay the way they were, because what happens is your heart becomes Gehenna. Your heart becomes a living hell. And the thing is, you think that if you hold on to this thing, like I think if I hold on to this, then it's going, like I am fighting for myself. Thank you guys. You guys can sit down, by the way. Can you give him a hand? I promised them no talking, so I pretty much held my. Thing is, if you hold on to this, if you refuse to drop it, you feel like what you're doing is you're fighting for yourself, but really what you're doing is you're hurting yourself because you're setting yourself up to have this heart that has the embers of Gehenna burning and setting it aflame. And sometimes people are like, but you don't understand. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what I've had happen to me. You don't understand the offenses that I've lived through. Like, I can't get past them. They live stuck with me for the rest of my life. I have a $20 bill here. Let's say, by the way, how much is this worth? Let's say I take this $20 bill and I go like this. How much is it worth? Let's say I put it on the ground and I stomp on it. How much is it worth? What happens if I take this $20 bill and I say, you're stupid, you're worthless, you're ugly, you're fat, you are not worth my time, I'm going to leave you forever. How much is this worth? Why? Because a power greater defines what this is worth, not me. The Federal Reserve, it says so right here, defines what this is worth. A power greater than me defines what this is worth. Doesn't matter what I say and do to this thing, it's worth $20. The thing about $20 bills is there's always someone who's willing to take it. Because if that was you, if there was someone who stomped on you, who rolled you up, who told you you were worthless and fat, you might believe them, and so you're holding on to that. But a power greater has told you otherwise. So drop it. So drop it. Clara Barton started the Red Cross during the Civil War. After the Civil War, she started the Red Cross. But she got started as a nurse during the Civil War. And she would go into a battlefield, and regardless of the side of the war they were on, regardless of the color of the coat they were wearing, she would go and she would administer aid to them. And she saved people's life. And people whose life she couldn't save, she sat next to them as they were dying so they wouldn't have to die alone. And they would sit next to someone who was dying on a battlefield. She never got shot, but she said that like holes were shot through her clothes. It was that close. And she was injured on the battlefield and other things. And this happened. A courageous woman. But she would sit with people and save lives of people wearing blue coats. And she would sit with people and save lives of people wearing gray coats. And so what happened is there's this belief on both sides. Some people view her as a courageous woman. Others viewed her as like this traitor to the cause. Like, you're helping them and you're helping them. And so there were people that hated her. And so during this time, people abused her and talked badly about her and dragged her name through the mud and called her a traitor. People did abusive things to her. But she got a calling on her life. And so after the war was over, and some people still viewed her as a traitor, and some people viewed her as a hero, people did terrible things. But when she was setting up the Red Cross, she had to meet with some of these same people who believed she was a traitor and did terrible things to her, because she wanted the Red Cross to be an organization that came to soldiers in their time of need. And so she had to work with soldiers in charge so that they'd allow her people to be with soldiers in their time of need. And so she had this meeting set up with this one particular higher up in the military. And she's talking to her friend about this meeting. And her friend's like, what? You're meeting with that person? Don't you remember what they said about you? Clara's like, no, I don't. How can you forget? Don't you remember that that person did that thing to you and they spoke badly about you behind your back? And don't you remember that? No, I don't remember that. And her friend's like, Clara, there's no way you could have forgotten this. And she says, I distinctly remember forgetting that. Because offense is an event, but offended is a choice. And this whole series is about loving like Jesus. And if anyone had a reason to hold on to something, to not let go, to hold on to grudges, it'd be Jesus. That's not what he did. That's not what he did for you. That's not what he did for me. So if we're going to love like that, it means standing up for ourselves, but not allowing our heart to turn into a living hell. When we get angry, not allowing offenses to build up. Not allowing someone who treats us badly to make us believe that that defines us, because a power greater has already defined us. And distinctly remembering to forget, because offense is an event, but offended is a choice. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you first and foremost for not allowing me to offend you, for not allowing any of us to offend you, but to look at us with love. God, Jesus, like, When we hurt you, you forgive. Time and time and time again. You are our model for this. When we choose to love like you, this whole thing is about loving like you love. Like that's exactly what you did for us, that you look at us with love in your heart and love in your eyes because you love us in spite of anything we've ever possibly done. So God, I thank you for that. And I ask God that you give us the power and the strength to know when we're allowing these little offenses to build up, and that you would call us on it, that you would point it out. Say, Jake, you're letting that offense build up. Jake, you're getting to the place where you want to say mean things to this person. Jake, your heart is getting set on fire. God, give us the wisdom to pray to you in that moment for strength. Because in our own strength, we cannot do it. Because I know that God, like the way that our relationships go, you believe in our relationships. Because God, you say that we should love a neighbor as ourselves. And so that we know that you believe that healthy relationships are possible and that they honor you. And so God, I just ask you to give us the wisdom and the strength to know when we're going that direction, and the wisdom and the strength to pray for your strength and your fuel and your love in that time as a reminder so that we can embrace that and we can drop that. God, guard our hearts from the embers of Gehenna, setting them on fire. Let us see those moments coming. We love you and thank you in your name. Amen.